Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's good, internet? It is still...
It is late.
It is June 11th.
It's actually not that late, but like all of our time zones, except, well, at least for three of the...
It feels like 1 a.m. to me, because it basically is. I guess Rob is the only one here where it's actually just 9:48, but also Rob just yawned into his fist. We just finished watching the Bethesda press conference for E3 2017. I'm also Walker, joining Patrick Klepek, Rob Zachney. Danica Harrod is busy shit posting on the internet instead of joining us, which is fair. Bethesda just did their show. I guess technically Devolver is on right now, but we started drinking very early.
That doesn't matter. I was on a flight very late yesterday. I was up till 2 in the morning. Yeah. Got on a flight at 8:30 in the morning. Back here.
I didn't know we had drinking.
I did, yeah. It was just a momentary moment where I slept on a plane for a while.
I didn't know we had that. I'm pointing at a beer, but I didn't know that we had the brand. That's interesting. I'll have some of that tomorrow. But that's to happen.
Yeah, pretty short, about 40 minutes.
40 minutes, tight.
Very
focused.
I mean,
I don't know if I'd say focused.
Dedicated to their bit is what I mean.
Yes.
To their Bethesda Land bit.
Pete Hines, their like head of marketing, et cetera, came out and just said like, "Hey, we're here."
Yeah.
Roll the fucking footage. Could have just done this on YouTube, but for some reason we paid millions of dollars for an event. So it's a community event. Bethesda, what they're trying to do, and this is clearly like sort of an off year for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think every year that's not like Bethesda Game Studios is releasing a big game, like feels slightly like an off year for them, just because things are so.
But they revealed. Here's the difference between this year and last year. And I don't want to jump ahead too much,
sure.
But last year, Prey, which was
big
new
surprise,
IP,
yes.
Big surprise, not new IP, but sort
right,
of new
right,
IP,
right, yeah. No Tommy,
and also no Space Bounty Hunter, sadly.
Ugh.
I know. I wanted to see it today. Yeah. Prey, when they came out, they're like, Prey 2.
The 2.5.
Yeah,
Prey 2, colon, the old one.
The old one, though.
We're just releasing the code. It doesn't even run.
It's just this one bar sequence. But this year, it was all stuff that we were... It was either sequels to things, it was something that had leaked earlier.
Expected. DLC. Even if Wolfenstein and Evil Within 2 had not been confirmed through leaks that happened leading up to an E3 thing, everyone knew those were coming. Yeah.
Like, those are both games that did pretty well. You're going to give Shinji Mikami a second chance.
Yes.
They own
that studio.
Right.
So
exactly.
Like, yeah.
What are you going to do? Like, bury it or let them try again?
Right.
Do more. I didn't play that game. You seemed like it was...
We can get to that, but it's like, it seems like they're trying to build a community. Like,
right.
Bethesda Land is also representative of the fact that, like, they're trying to build... Like Bethesda as a larger
publisher, as a brand,
as like a
community.
Identity.
I mean, like, think about the way they opened this game up, or this show up, which was this really heartwarming video of all of the children, developers, and then the developers themselves being able to say, like, "I make video games for a living. I make people happy. I really love my job. I'm really proud of my parent. I'm really proud of my mom or my dad."
Yeah,
like that stuff was really good and helped sell that notion of like Bethesda as. As a community-driven place, as a culture that's about positivity, that's like separate from the sort of like bombastic dubstep.
Fuck yeah, slit that dude's throat.
Right, but then also you slit the dude's throats, right? That's the thing that's kind of interesting about so much of this to me is like the community-driven stuff then leans into some of the most brutal action sequences we've seen so far at E3, right? So let's start at the. I don't know if I'm gonna start at the top. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna open up a map.
Yep.
And someone's gonna give me a direction.
Okay.
And I'm gonna go in that direction.
Northwest.
Let's call that... it's one of the two new ones. Let's call that Evil Within.
Yeah.
Let's start there. So Evil Within 2... There's no subtitle, right?
No, just okay. Evil Within 2, yeah.
As a follow-up to a survival horror game, an action horror game.
Shinji Mikami, you know, Vanquish, you know, Resident Evil 4, like, essentially, you know, the... you know, when we call survival horror, Shinji Mikami is responsible for that. Started a studio years ago that ZeniMax essentially like bought almost immediately.
Yep.
Evil Within came out a couple years back, I think 2 years ago, and I guess it was probably maybe 3 years ago. Either way, very promising survival horror game. It very much felt like Resident Evil 4.5 in the good way and the bad way, which is like it was. It felt like Resident Evil 4, but didn't evolve a lot of what, like the in between. Resident Evil 4 was such a profoundly like in the way like we're gonna look at Breath of the Wild 10 years from now and be like, wow, look at all these games that like are directly influenced by that.
I hope
RE4 did that for so many sort of like action, like third person action games. Like it was a profound like a shift in design philosophy, and the Evil Within felt like. Like, he didn't look at anything that happened after that.
He's like, all right, I just finished Resident Evil 4.
Right, and
now
he's like, moving on to the next one. Instead, there was like a huge gap in between those games. And so, a lot of interesting ideas, but just didn't quite come together in the
and
way.
And also held back by hardware at the time, right? Like,
yeah, so it was built on
it. Letterboxed, it was.
Letterboxed in a way that it's never become clear explicitly whether it was running at a weird ratio in which there are giant black boxes on the top and bottom because of technical constraints, in which, like, they said, we will just spin this as an artistic choice, but because we cannot actually get the frame rate to run at an acceptable rate, because it was running on id Tech and was not running on... I presume this new one is not running on id Tech again, but I don't know that for sure. But it was like, there's a lot of hobbled sort of problems there. But a very promising sort of setup, and the sequel doesn't give us a lot of sense of, or at least what they've shown... what the game's actually going to be like. It was a very brief, more cinematic trailer.
There's kind of a problem there, I think, for them, because I think a lot of people are aware that The Evil Within is a game.
Yes.
It's a franchise. With a gun
it's got
head,
a two.
I couldn't tell you anything about, like, that's the one with the cop going into the insane asylum.
Yeah,
right.
I think it was wild, right?
Yeah, but I know, like, I think a lot of people don't really know where it goes.
Sure.
And so you have the sequel that's, like, picking up these threads from this game.
I think, and you guys are looking at me, right. Like, where
so
does
tell
it fit in the
this,
timeline?
Yeah.
Like, well, there were two DLCs, which nobody played, including me. And, like, I know that they took place, one was, like, a side story, but then one was, I think,
we need to find a good lore video on YouTube.
So, I guess, kind of the chase, though, in that first game, in the launch, like, not the DLCs, but in the original game, was there reference made to there being, like, a sad dad, missing daughter, like, backstory?
Don't even
guy?
Remember.
Okay.
I also don't remember that. I mean, anymore. I watched you play
a bunch of it, so...
Honestly, I think it may actually be the case that even though it's a two, in some ways, like, I may be wrong on this, like, I'll go and check a Wikipedia page, but, like, it feels like a soft reboot in some ways, where it's like, I feel like there is enough of a time gap, and I may have to, you know...
All of this could be wrong.
Eat shit
on
this tomorrow.
Yes.
But it seemed like maybe, like, hey, a two implies in the same way that they made Prey, right? Like, they didn't have to call that game Prey. You call a game Prey or you give a game a two because, like, it implies something came before or there's some sort of hook for it.
So there's some
even
connection.
If Evil Within 2 is only sort of, like, loosely picking up on threads from the original, my guess is the idea is they're going to try and treat this as, like, hey, who likes horror games? Like, come play this game even if you didn't play
Listen
the original.
To this, like,
got a middle-aged man trying to redeem himself in the name of his daughter.
While a Duran Duran, like a sad Duran Duran Ordinary World cover plays. Welcome back to video games, everybody!
You know, it's weird. In some ways, I did sort of think that trailer, I think I was maybe left a little colder by that trailer than a lot of other people. Like, the music turned me off a little bit because it's hitting such conventional trailer beats.
Right, yeah.
But the imagery, like, it was evocative and troubling and upsetting in all the right ways.
Yeah.
Like, that I'm looking for from a Mikami game.
Yeah. I even kind of like that track, if I'm being completely honest. I think it's been a long day.
The heart wants what it wants.
You can't lie to yourself.
It also didn't show a whole lot of the game that is coming out this year.
Right.
Like, it's coming out on Friday the 13th. Like, that's not that long in the grand scheme of things.
I bet we'll see more of that in the next couple of months.
I would imagine. And, that game's not big enough to, like... That's not going to be at Sony's press conference. Like, that's not going to get an extended game. Like, unfortunately, the economy, like... RE4 was a little while ago.
It was a while ago.
And so, So yeah, I'm excited on the pure promise of a new Shinji Mikami game, of the fact that Evil Within had an interesting foundation.
I'm happy that they're going for it again.
And I think a lot of the publishers would have said after Evil Within, game that clearly didn't sell that well. Yep. And that's true of, I think, like, non-Bethesda game studio games. Like, they're, yes, like, publisher-centric model. Like, a lot of those games don't... I think Wolfenstein did pretty well, but, like...
I'm not sure the Arcane game didn't
do very well. Prey seems to, if not a bomb, certainly not...
Underperformed. Based on what its
perception was. But they, like... I don't know how much of their business model is based around this, but they certainly show faith in their studios, mm-hmm, to, like, give them second chances. Right. I mean, to pivot off of that, they showed a trailer for a Dishonored 2 DLC.
They did.
With a something of the outsider. Kill the Merc? Something of the Outsider?
Death of the Outsider? Something like that, yeah.
Which
you're playing as Billy?
Billy Lurk.
Can you tell me about Billy?
You were very you did the Rob equivalent of a yo.
Yo, yeah, exactly.
But I didn't know why I was like, I played these games. Should I be more excited? I don't remember who Billy is.
So Dishonored 1 was great.
Yes.
It's paired DLCs, the Knife of Dunwall.
I think are better than the main game.
Yeah, if only because they're tighter, but
yes,
they're really
probably,
good.
I think largely because they're tighter.
Okay. Yeah. And so that was, is it Michael Madsen?
Michael Madsen is Dowd.
Is Dowd.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of, that story was sort of taking the assassin who killed Empress Caldwyn and sort of telling the story of what happens in the time between that assassination and when the main character of Dishonored catches up with him.
Korra Wattana. I haven't beaten any of these games, but I feel like I'm very close to the characters.
Okay, so anyway, the cool thing is Dowd is like the leader of this like League of Shadows Assassin's Guild, and his right hand is this woman named Billy Lurk, who even in those games, like, she's a character who just sort of exists on the margins. She sort of gives you your missions, gives you the information downloads. Is just like ineffably cool,
right?
Like, just like. Low menace in every scene.
When you want to know more.
Yeah,
like the game like gives you a little bit about what's going on, but like leaves a lot of blanks. And so when it's revealed that character's involved, it's like that's the character. Like that's the one you would want a DLC to explore.
Well, and where her character was left off was probably the most effective moral choice in Dishonored, which is Billy betrays Dowd.
Okay.
Like the end of the first half of the Knife of Dunwall. Reveals that she's sort of been working against you this entire time, and you have this choice. Once you sort of get your own back, you have this choice, like exile her or kill her. And so, like, it was a really tough decision because what she'd done was pretty bad.
And exile is also like a form of like forgiveness in a way.
Yeah, exactly. So like her arc ends ambiguously, and she goes off in sort of the unknown lands,
right?
And to have her sort of come back in this really badass trailer.
So, do you beat Dishonored 2? She's in Dishonored 2.
Okay.
That's all I'll say.
Alright.
People have played that. I haven't beaten that game. But yeah. I was like, oh, who's Billy? I don't know. Oh, okay. Interesting. So, there's some Dishonored 2 connections there. I really want to go play those games.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
It's a major character
in that game, also.
I've
got you.
That's exciting. I'm excited that...
And like, it does seem like by the... So The Outsider, you know, like...
Huge
role in both games, but given very little sort of like... What does he mean in the grand scheme of things? Is he like just one sort of like jokester, sort of like godlike?
Or is
he part of a larger pantheon? Like, what does it mean? Like, they leave, even in the second one, a lot of ambiguity about The Outsider as a character... And so by naming this DLC Death of the Outsider, like, I'm not informed by anything, but it's I would not be surprised if this is giving Arcane a chance to, like, bring the mythology to a close or some sort of, like, closure to the series.
Just in case.
Which is
It's
definitely bittersweet, but, like, it would be nice to have a franchise end on some note of finality.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't put Billy together with that character.
Did
they change
character.
The voice actor?
I don't know. All right. I haven't played
these games. No, because remember, I misidentified the character.
I'm like very frustrated with myself that I haven't played these games because I put 40 hours or whatever, 32 hours or something into
Prey.
You didn't finish.
You finished Mass Effect Andromeda.
Finished Mass Effect Andromeda, which I hated. I finished Prey, which I grow to like less as I get distance from.
I agree with you there.
I liked a lot of it.
I grew to like it less as I got further into it.
Me too. And I didn't beat Dishonored 1 or 2. Worlds I love. Characters I really like. Combat that I really enjoy.
Right.
Stealth that I like. all of the stuff about Dishonored is stuff that I like more than those other games. Maybe this summer. It'll be a summer project.
You know what I think part of the problem with the Dishonored games is a little bit? Is they're like your fine glass of whiskey. It's always like, you know, you gotta be able to appreciate your Dishonored. But there's so many other games that are your Kirkland whiskey. Like, you know, it's always the right time.
Man, just throwing shade at my budgetary preferences.
Plastic bottle whiskey.
Patrick, Kirkland makes a mean bottle of extra virgin olive oil. I am sure they're just as good at whiskey.
Fuck.
Oh, I'm just going to put my
Welcome to the Waypoint House, just dragging everybody.
I'm gonna put my hand in my hand.
Speaking of dragons, Skyrim is... With Link.
Old man, like a weird looking Link.
Oh my god, you guys, that Link, he looked like an old man. He had a Master Sword that looked like it was just imported from a different game. Like,
it was a mod.
Yeah, which is fine, you know. That's coming to Switch.
Speaking of mods.
How much
did that Master Sword cost?
Yeah, but that's the point.
On the Creation Club.
On the Creation Club. So, briefly, Skyrim's coming to Switch.
But they didn't say when.
They did, this year.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because Pete Hines at the end said everything was this year.
Ambiguously this fall.
Skyrim's coming to everything. Like, if I go outside, I turn on my Mazda, I can play Skyrim on my MOD. Like, I can just do that.
There were some bad motion controls in that trailer.
There's like, you can like take push off the Joy-Cons and like do like a...
You push forward with your left Joy-Con, you pull back with the right one to shoot an arrow. It's bad. It just looks like you're like... I don't know what this is. I don't know what the hand motion I'm doing is.
It's the video game equivalent of like Lightning Bolt, though. It's kind of how that's like you playing.
Is that an argument for it or against it?
In my world, that's an argument against it, but I don't know where you come down.
I come from LARPland. You heard of Bethesda Land? I come from LARPland. We're out here trying to throw some lightning bolts. And then, yes, the Creators Club, the Creation Cave, what's the...
Creators Club.
They're doing it. Bethesda's doing it. Bethesda's going back to...
No, the people live in the Creation Cave when they publish things on the Creation Club.
Okay. The Creation Club is going to be... a place for people to
they're rebooting like their original partnership with Valve where they giving modders the ability to sell mods
or charge money
for mods on Steam. That went very poorly for a lot of reasons.
Yes, for lots of reasons, some of which I think are very genuine.
Some were valid, and some were just people want to shift for free.
Yes, that was the thing that was so frustrating for me, because I think there was lots of valid complaint of like, hey, y'all didn't put enough thought into this. You don't have answers for these key questions.
Yes.
But then there was also a backlash that was just like, mods should be free.
Yes.
No, mods should be free. And like, no, mods take people lots of time. And if they feel like they should charge for it, they should be able to charge for it.
Yeah,
like,
and there, you know, it was labor is labor. They were going in the middle of a community and saying, we're switching the model.
Right.
I think that was like a fundamentally flawed...
Especially
with
an established game already.
Yes.
Which is why people, at the time, I think the thing we all talked about was like, oh, for Fallout 4,
they'll just
have it from the jump. No, they're still just pushing it in to games that have now launched already. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, but it's not going to only be on PC. They're pushing this on a PS4, Xbox One. Maybe some of the thought there is that console players are less, there's less of a culture of modding there. It's newer to them. The idea of paying for it wouldn't be wild to them. I'm curious how that will be curated. What is it that a creator says, I want to charge for this, or is that Bethesda says, we bestow you the right
that,
to charge
I think it's
for
that.
This.
So the exact quote is, the basic idea is that developers within Bethesda, as well as, quote, some with external partners who have worked on our games, and some external creators. So that to me sounds like highly curated, super walled garden, hand-picked, we want this, and this to be inside of this thing.
And maybe that implies that maybe they're going to allow like some of their own developers
to
make weird shit.
Totally.
Because Bethesda famously, after they ship a major product for their main Bethesda Game Studios games, they do a game jam like to figure out their DLC, and then they say, hey, everyone go for a month and go make weird shit, and then we'll figure out what we want to actually turn that into.
And then Nathan Grayson also pulls out this quote, which is that previously creative mods will not be eligible.
Oh.
Everything that comes out of the program will be approved, curated, and taken through a full internal dev cycle, including localization, polishing, and testing. So this is like... This is...
That's like, what's, like, we've written about some of these, like, really expansive mods for, like...
Like, total conversion mods, like Enderal,
yes,
or, like
Enderal.
Stuff like that,
there's
where it's, like...
There's some other new one that's coming out relatively soon that I... Anyway, but, like, stuff like that, I could see that where, like, those people should be allowed to charge $30
totally.
Or
that's
whatever.
That's a huge amount of work. And what would be really great about that would be... I mean, I don't know what those rates look like. I hope the rates are good, because, like, the rates on some of the Steam creator stuff is not good. But ideally, it also comes with the support from a publisher who can localize it, who can test it.
Right.
Can
actually, we'll take a percentage, but then your game is going to be, your mod could be played by like millions of more people.
Totally.
And that's a really interesting prospect for that.
Yeah. Rob is stroking his beard and looking very pensive.
I'm just thinking, like, you know, going to, and I don't think this really fits the Bethesda model too well. So I'm thinking, I'm just drawing more for like, more from, say, like the Blizzard background, but like, where does IP IP rights reside? Like, if I go and I create the total conversion that is the next Defense of the Ancients,
right. My bet would be Skyrim would be Bethesda.
Well, right, and I don't think there's anything to stop people from, even if it is copyrighted, there's nothing to stop people from ripping off game mechanics.
Well, look what happened like with Blizzard and Valve over Dota. Like, eventually, they just said like, "Here's a bunch of money. Can we just not?
Can we both make a lot of money?
Can we just not?
What
do
if
this?
We both made a lot of money instead of risking it all?" it's a really good question. I have looked into this for some other things, like when I was doing academic junk. Depending on the publisher, like, there are different statutes and situations. And I've even seen publishers set up systems that are really frictionless, but in the process of being frictionless, also turn over the rights for whatever modded content to just be integrated into the main game down the line with no credit or pay. And so I hope it's more upfront than that, and I hope it's like a little more fair. I hope there's some degree of IP ownership. Maybe part of the fact that this is going to be hand curated and like really carefully chosen.
You would lose that as a result of like them getting involved, or
what I think is like that means that opens the door for a negotiation, right? Because it's
how much help do you need,
right? Versus something where it's like, I just want this to be on the store. I'm just uploading it. I'll hit the checkbox that says you own it now.
Right.
Versus like, you know what? No, like Enderal has all this fiction in it that's ours. We want to keep that. We'd love for it to be on the store, but we want our mythology and all the creative IP to remain ours. Can we sign a deal where maybe you get an extra 10% Bethesda?
Right.
But we own IP. Who knows? Like, I don't know. But my hope is that because it's a little more hand curated, that door is open for negotiation.
Yeah. It's also difficult because like ZeniMax, the parent company of Bethesda, they are constantly in the news for sending out lawsuits. Like, they are in a big VR lawsuit with Facebook and Oculus.
Yep.
You cannot name your game anything close to a Scrolls or anything like that. Or else they will come after you. So, like, that makes me wonder, you know, how all that stuff falls, given the fact that they are also very prone to you know, being a little lawsuit heavy.
No Prey news.
Nope.
No Prey news.
It is
a little early.
Yeah. I expected DLC.
I don't know if I'd expect DLC, because
I did. Now that there wasn't any, I don't expect it anymore.
No. But also the way, not to get too deep in that game, but like the way things end, essentially it only sets up a
I could do the side story game. Or something.
Maybe,
like that.
That's
what I expected.
Something
like,
before, like...
Yeah, I would love
to... Well, that's the colony that's referenced. The lunar underground.
The lunar, right, totally. So maybe that stuff's being worked on, and we'll see that in at a PAX West or something.
Right.
And for holiday.
I'd love for them to kind of like maintain, like, this idea we've talked about, or like, they get behind games that aren't necessarily as successful as they'd like. It'd be nice to see if Prey got another shot.
Totally. Do you have something, Rob?
No.
Still pensive looking.
No, I want more people to buy Dishonored and Prey.
I agree. I mean, look, even though I soured on the second half of Prey, I liked a lot of the ideas. Like, I'd love for them to, even if it wasn't Prey, like, they went to do something else. Yeah. Like, a lot of what they were playing with there were
on
interesting
the way,
ideas.
I want. Yeah.
And on the way,
I'm arriving at a place with Prey where I'm like, it's a good game that frustrates me because I saw how close it was to greatness.
Yep.
And totally I can see it falling short of that, and that frustrates me.
Me too.
Sometimes that makes you more critical of something.
Sure, absolutely.
Totally. Before we completely leave Elder Scrolls, let's knock out the rest of that. Elder Scrolls Online, more expansions coming. It looked like more Morrowindy stuff. They think they go to the Clockwork City.
Tell us about the card game. You got that
I've not played that game at all.
The trailer, though. You were all in on that trailer.
Was I?
No, you weren't.
Oh, okay. I was worried. I'd forgotten that I was like that. I got, like, hyped.
We gave Austin enough beer that he saw a card
game. Did I say, yo? I like card games a lot.
But not that one.
I mean, the thing that you and I talked about, Rob, was, like, while watching it, was that, like, there's none of the charm of Hearthstone in it. And I frankly don't think that there's much of the charm of the Elder Scrolls in it, right? Like, you have to remember, the Elder Scrolls is a world in which in every game you find a book called The Lusty Argonian Maid about a lizard person who's horny. Like, that's a game that
it's a weird universe. Yeah,
right. Like, you meet the god of chaos who is like speaks in an Irish accent and has a shillelagh and like is being chased by the Lord of Justice and Order who is like a big like metal man. Like, it's a goofy fucking world. Yeah.
And those trailers treat it like...
You talk to talking dogs. Seriously, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And those and the trailer for The Elder Scrolls Legends, which is the card game,
right,
is just like the paintings are like fantasy paintings on the side of vans. Like, completely super serious. Like, axe in the air, lightning striking. I almost said a grand wizard. We don't see any... I wish that there was just a little bit of the humor, because that's what makes Hearthstone work for so many people, is just like, hey, like, this isn't taking itself too seriously.
Also, it may, for folks like myself who do not have, like, a long history with collectible card games, like, that, like, darkly serious, like, self-serious fantasy is also kind of intimidating.
Yes.
Because people think Dungeons & Dragons, they think, like, certain types of archetypes of fantasy in their head, they're like, well, I didn't get that stuff before, that's not for me.
Right.
Part of Hearthstone that I got, even something like, my wife just sat down and, like, experiment with it on an iPad, was like, this is playful, this is fun. Not that you have to go as far as Hearthstone.
Totally.
But they're ignoring part of The Elder Scrolls that is there that I think could make it a more broad...
Right, like, I mean, they talked about, like, their campaign stuff around the Dark Brotherhood inside of this card game. And I bet some of that stuff is really fun and interesting.
Sure.
But when it's just, like, the hooded figure of the Dark Brotherhood is coming for you.
Right.
Draw 3 mana. And, like, okay, I don't... Thanks. Okay. I shoot that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Voice, well, it's a fun voice. Yeah. What else? So that's it for Elder Scrolls stuff. Oh, VR. No Elder Scrolls VR, right? Fallout 4, which is huge. Actual Fallout 4,
the
presumably.
Full Fallout 4 is what they're
That's what they're saying. I want to know what movement's like. I want to know what it feels like.
Yeah, they didn't... that it's unclear.
It was a Vive, right?
There's no analog sticks on the Vive. So I don't know. Whereas, like, with Doom, they showed a very common sort of solution to movement in which you point and then you teleport yourself around. It appears that's not a full adaptation of Doom.
That's just VFR.
Like, right. So I think it's maybe like virtual arenas, that you're probably just fighting off demons in. Seems like that could be fun.
Oh, it's
enough.
Like BFG.
Right.
But VFR.
Yes.
Virtual fucking reality.
You just got... Okay.
I got there.
Oh, sorry.
I thought I was like, is there some shit in Doom? I didn't beat Doom. Is there anything in, like, the last level of Doom? I got, like, far into Doom.
Yeah, you saw enough.
I saw enough of it to be like, oh, this is really... This does the thing it does. Eh. I liked it. I liked what I put into it. I liked what I put into it. It didn't own me the way it owned everybody else.
Yeah, sure.
I think if I had gone into it blind, I would have just loved
it. That game... The hype hit a certain level because of the relative surprise that it would make
it
difficult.
I'm happy for people. And then,
whereas Fallout is the full thing, and that should be
interesting.
We'll see.
I'm curious.
At least get me to boot it up again.
Yeah. There's a moment when they're showing off the Fallout stuff of decorating.
Yes.
And I just want to play that game. People know I like that part of Fallout 4
quite a
bit.
I hate that part of Fallout 4.
I built basketball courts. I built clubs. I built nightclubs. I built, like, houses for all the NPCs.
I wanted to pay $20 to just build me a cool area.
I think I built 8 or 9 full settlements out. Like, I really love that
stuff. I did it for the 10 minutes they asked me to do it and said goodbye.
There's better storytelling than anything else in that fucking game.
Well, I agree there.
Like, I mean, so, like, that's the thing. The kind of bummer around this is that the mainline stuff in Fallout 4, even though I enjoyed that game more than most people, or more than most, like, very aggressive critics, at least.
Well, a lot of people that, like, really enjoyed, like, myself, I paid, put 150 hours into Fallout 3, 100 plus hours into New Vegas, and then got 40 hours into, well, relative to the 100,
you know, 40 is still a lot.
Because I kept telling myself, like,
you're going to find that quest.
You're going to find that quest. You're going to find, like, you're going to get over the hump, and I just, eventually I had to just delete it.
And so, it's worth, I'll check it out.
Yeah. It's a reason to boot it up.
It'll be a reason for me to hook the Vive up also. Like, we have a Vive at the office that I never use for anything.
The HTC Vive.
Is this, but is this maybe the way forward for VR is, like, get away from, here's your, like, VR novelty experience. It's really cool. Everyone's going to talk about it. And instead just be like, here are these worlds you love, these experiences you love. Here's a new way of
experiencing them. Even if you're only doing it for a couple of hours.
Right.
Even if you just want to jump in. Like, what I would love is if it shipped with 12 save games. At different parts of the story with different characters. Just so you can
kind of experience. Like, when they showed...
the boat segment.
Yeah, one of the coolest sequences in Fallout 4 of what I experienced in my time. It was when that boat kind of floats up. Like, I'd love to
That's a really fun thing. I'd love to see that happen. There's a scale to that whole thing.
Yeah.
I'd love that. Or, like, I mean, I guess the thing is, like, it's Fallout 4. I'll use a console command to make that happen.
I guess that's true.
But I'd love it for them to support. Like, have just built in a cheat mode that I can use really quickly.
Have you ever seen, you haven't actually used it, like, videos of, like, the Google Earth?
Right,
like,
totally.
Like, wouldn't you love the fact, like, if I could go into Fallout 3 or New Vegas or Fallout 4 and just, like, zoom out and just, like,
I mean,
just go to a place and just fuck around?
There are also just places in that world, like, for all the problems I think Fallout 4 had, there are places that, when it's not running at no frames per second on a console, are actually really, like, breathtaking or terrifying.
Yeah.
There's, like, the radioactive sea in the southwest of the map.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, one of my favorite things, I mentioned this years ago on the Giant Bomb Game of the Year podcast, that, like, the map is wrong. The map ends, but the game keeps going past the map. And it's just disaster. It's just, like, radioactive wasteland and, like, weird buildings that aren't on any map. And, like, the like, terrible radioactive winds are blinding you. Like, I want to do that in VR and then just hate myself because it's just terrifying and scary. But I want to see that stuff as much as I want to see the beautiful skyline.
Right.
What was the name? Diamond City?
Yes.
The baseball stadium.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about that. And then the Quake thing. Or not Quake thing. The Doom VR thing.
Yeah.
Also just looks good. I want to know if that's just a big arena mode.
It seems that. I mean, that was my impression. I haven't read any write-ups about, like, what that actually is, but an excuse to play more Doom.
Yeah.
I will.
What if, so they don't show any executions. They show at the very end, you stun a guy, and then you rush up to it, and then it
makes it seem like, maybe, like, you are involved in the executions.
Yeah, what if you get up there?
Oh, you want to punch that demon.
I want to, like, punch that demon, and it goes, like, brrr, and then, you didn't see it because it's a podcast, but I went, brrr, and my whole face went to the left. And then, like, come back the other way and you hit him again and you, like, grab his head and blah, rip it off. Doom.
So you're actually ready for, like...
you should have been up on stage.
I know.
Doom.
We've actually remade Punch-Out. It's Pac-A-Demon's Punch-Out.
It's Pac-A-Demon's Punch-Out. Yeah, okay, exactly. That's exactly it. Quake Champions was also there. They invented esports, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, so I've
heard actually, like, decent things about the beta. I didn't
have a chance
to play it myself, but... You know, it's got, like, a hero system as opposed to... To old
proper Quake.
You know, it's basically riffing on Quake 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awkward thing. Like, you do want to sort of nod to that competitive gaming legacy in Quake 3, which is very real. That is a very real part of that game's history.
There's that Quake 3 demo.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the birth of esports.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you start the pitch from, we don't just play this game. We compete at it. We don't want to play Quake. We want to be champions.
It's just like, and when you play, you're a real Quake champion. Or whatever the bullshit they said.
Just trying so hard.
It's a real
Which is a shame, because, like, this is a game in which you can be a hoverboarder. And, like, skate around with a rocket launcher. Like,
that's
again,
not bad. That speaks
that's
for
good.
Itself.
Yeah.
That
Quake
3,
you could be an eye. You could be an eye that had a rocket launcher.
Yep.
Come on. Come on.
It's everyone's misreading this is like, the kids want the esports these days. And that is true. The kids do want the esports these days. They already have them. The esports are the games that are popular and have these, like, mature competitive scenes that people are really invested in. But nobody is like, I really wish somebody would make an esports game, because if someone doesn't make one, what would I play? Like, right.
It seems like they have difficulty conveying, like, you can imagine on sort of like an executive management, like PR level, you're like, okay, we are building this game because we want it to be played for competitive reasons. How do we, they feel this obligation to acknowledge that and convey that in like their actual marketing materials, and it comes across as so hackneyed and over the top. Like, you know, Overwatch, now an extremely popular competitive game, there was nothing like that. They just let the game speak for itself, and then it becomes a competitive game. And any sport as a result, as opposed to this, where it's saying, like, up front, like, win $1 million at the QuickCon Championships.
I'm just realizing this entire room seems to slant at a really... Like,
we're in our Airbnb out here in beautiful Los Angeles, and everything is slanting.
Well, it's slanting toward me, and I'm like, look, I know I've put a lot of weight in LA, but, like, did I do this?
No. That's weird.
No, it's... Anyway.
This is just your mind playing tricks on you. Speaking of mind playing tricks... The evil within. And also taking acid and shooting Nazis.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, can I read you a poem that sets the stage?
Sure. Yes.
All right. This is the new Colossus.
Mm-hmm.
This is a famous poem.
Okay.
It says, I know that because I'm reading it.
It says it's a famous poem.
It says Emma Lazarus's famous poem, a poem by Emma Lazarus, is graven on a tablet within the pedestal on which the statue stands. Which statue do you think I mean? Statue of Liberty.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Not like,
kind of like a Colossus.
Well, it is a Colossus. That's the whole. It's the new Colossus.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame.
Oh, I do not suppose.
With conquering limbs astride from land to land, here. At our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome, her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep ancient lands, you storied pomp, cries she, with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp besides the golden door. And then this is a game where you kill a bunch of Nazis.
Well, hold on. It takes an acid.
Yeah. The ending of the new Order is...
Spoilers. For the New Order. The Wolfenstein, the New Order.
DLC from 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The end of that game is Anya as, like, the reimagined, like, Statue of Liberty. The end of the game is her...
Because they're
evacuing a sort of, like, sci-fi concentration camp. And she, like, you know, Blazkowicz doesn't make it out.
I see.
And she's standing there by the helicopter waving a torch for the people making their escape. And then the nukes hit, and I thought Blazkowicz was dead. But maybe
he's not. Back! Well, and also, bad news, America.
Shit went wrong.
Shit went wrong. Well, like, I mean, that's Man in the High Castle style.
In Wolfenstein the New Order, like, part of what's actually kind of... And lots of things were interesting about that game. But also, like, you don't save the world at the end. Like, you don't defeat the Nazis. Like, you don't stop the threat. Like, you put a crack in the wall that hopefully leads to other people to pick that up and take it forward. But, like... You don't stop everything at the end. Like,
right.
All you know is, like, you won this small victory.
Right.
And hopefully that leads to other things. And it seems like this new one, the new Colossus, will be more about that, like, larger concentrated effort.
What a wild ride.
That trailer. That
trailer. Was it even a trailer? It was, like, part of it was a trailer. And then it was just this, like, free association, like, sequence of different out-of-context scenes.
I really love that free association. So, I mean, it opens up with a thing that's, like, a riff on what they did to promote the first, to promote the New Order, which was, in the New Order, they promoted it with, like, what if famous Western pop music, English language pop music, was sung in German, and was existing in a world in which the 1960s happened, but the Nazis had won, and the dominant language of the world was German.
Like Beach Boys music. Beach Boys music, like
Beatles music, but in German. And in this, it opens up with, like, Lassie, except what if instead of Lassie, it was a giant robot fucking dog, and it was, like, had a flamethrower mouth, and it knocked over a truck and almost killed a bunch of people. That was really good.
Like, and that, the, like, film grain,
yes.
Like, threat of, like, violence,
yeah. And then, like, flipping through other channels, and then it devolves into this amazing thing where, like, there's this moment when it cuts away from action to a diner in America, mm-hmm. right? In like a kind of, in my mind, Midwestern town. I don't know.
That it seems like an true. Iowa sort of place. Like Colorado. There's a diner something. You walk into yeah. and like
the
you
soda see, jerk at the...
Right. It yeah. gives the commandant his milkshake. Yeah. And the, to me, like that felt like a really direct like reach out to Inglourious Basterds pastry scene. Where the so-called Jew hunter, played by Christoph Waltz, is eating the pastry and is like trying to like read if the lead actress is, fuck, what is her name, Shoshana, is able to keep up her kind of her disguise, her facade as being a German,
right,
or being French or whatever the character is pretending to be, and it felt like okay, they're trying to do that thing, they're trying to do the pressure of. You live in an occupied space. You don't get...
Fitting in. Yeah,
fitting in. How do you move through this space? Oh, it's an Aryan jawline. How do you
perform with it?
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm sure... And then...
I'm sure then that gun comes out.
I guess. But they don't but they give cut. You that. He yeah. goes like, can you show me your ID? And it hard cuts to a completely different scene of like gunfights on boats. Like there's no connective tissue there.
Right.
It's just this amazing hard cut that I didn't expect because I've never seen a game trailer make that sort of.
But
joke.
Also, the New Order, like part of what made it like really like surprising was like its tonal shifts.
Right.
Like, it was a game that wasn't. It was funny. It was somber. Like it was insightful. Like,
God,
was
there's some funny moments in this trailer.
So really, and like that, this trailer, I think. The marketing, part of the reason the New Order was so surprising was because Bethesda, like, completely failed at selling the game that they had. They didn't know how to sell a game with multiple tones and make that interesting to people. And this trailer, I think, does a much better job of, like, selling it. This is, like the trailer ends with that moment where, like, this pregnant woman is stabbing a Nazi to death. While another soldier is, like, hallucinating.
Because
like,
taking acid.
And, like... That's
grabbing a cartoon frog.
That's a little more extreme than like some of the stuff that happens in the New Order, but is reflective of like that game's like wildly shifting tone. Mm-hmm. That I think was very successful at shifting tone. And it's part of what made that game so much fun to play because there are moments where like legitimately sad in the New Order.
Mm-hmm. It's a crushing game.
Yeah, like and it even like the sex scene in that game like has done remarkably well for like a video games like relative to things like what BioWare does. Like it was just a. Machine Games is doing very interesting things with narrative in a game context in which that's the last thing you expect them to do.
And it's weird because it still is this ridiculous over the top.
It's still Nazi. You're just right. Shooting Nazis in the head.
What we're skipping over is an action sequence that was just jumped from room to room, not connected in any way, which was really jarring coming off of like the Dishonored DLC trailer, which was this like beautiful flowing dance of death to this thing that was just like. Shooting a robot dog that has laser eyes. Now you're over here and you got two guns. Now it's over here. And just like...
You got a rail gun. You just vaporized that dude.
It just jumps really hard. I had like a headache when I was done, but I appreciated it.
And then I think the other interesting thing is this game is starting to dig into, America's own flirtation with...
racism and its own notions of white supremacy and issues of power.
Yeah, and like
Grand Wizard is in that trailer.
There's another,
and they don't really get into it. It's just you see it,
right?
And because so much of that trailer is so curated, you know that shot is there for and given what that game touched on originally, like I don't think it's going to shy away from that.
No,
and like I don't know what they're going to do.
That's out this year.
That's out this year, and I think I'm super, given how they didn't shy away from any of that stuff in the original game, like, I have no idea what they're going to do, half of what makes it surprising.
And I kind of dig, there are a couple things that I really dig. One was that another surreal moment is the guy having a drink with Blazkowicz.
Yes.
While a sniper appears to be engaging in a live gun battle outside their base, and it's this like Communist Party headquarters, as he's just sort of unpacking, like, I don't have any stake in this.
Yeah,
like we got screwed anyway. Like, they weren't dying for our cause.
Nope.
With beaches overseas. And then the other thing that's happening in this game is that there's that brief scene of like Main Street USA where Klansmen are the new brown shirts, basically. And a lot of the new characters appear to be people who are either in, like, a Communist Party resistance or are African-American characters.
Right, Very good black hair in this trailer. There's a lady who kind of has like a Black Panther vibe or like a 1970s blaxploitation, like Black Power vibe that is very good. Just very good hair. Fantastic sequence with Blazkowicz coming up out of an elevator shaft in like armor, like power armor that has like a big hair.
Weird helmet.
Helmet cover. It looks like a Silent Hill villain.
Yes.
It looks like it's like a fucking pyramid head bullshit. And he has a button or something that like brings down the pyramid head
like
part
of
it.
It's like a shitty Iron Man.
It's a shitty Iron Man. And he's like, I'm not a Nazi.
E3 2017. Shitty Iron Man.
Yes. Wobbly Iron Man. Wobbly wobbly. And he comes up and it's just a very good moment of like, alright, if you're not gonna fucking believe me, and he hits the button again and the Iron Man helmet comes back on. They try to shoot him and he's like, but he has the helmet on, he climbs up and grabs the guy. It's very good. And again, like goofy but still somehow grounded, right? Like
And that's what Wolfenstein was too, is like somehow in the ridiculousness it found a way to ground itself and tell like an emotional story that if you tell it out loud, you're like, shut the fuck up. Right. Like, it just doesn't make...
Jimi Hendrix?
It shouldn't work.
Right.
And yet, they find a way to make it work. And I'm just tremendously excited to see what they do with it.
And it does this weird thing where the violence is over the top, and it's awesome and all that, and yet the weight of the violence and the way it sits on the characters is strangely real. Like, one of the cool things that happens over the course of New Order is that everyone's just getting really tired of fighting this war because they know, like, there is no like moment where it's done. There's no victory they're working towards. There's no VE.
Like we blew it's up just, this facility and like, yay, the war is over. Yeah, like it's just no,
we
like,
lost
it's
the
just,
war.
It's
the
just
war.
More fighting.
Right.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I'm excited for that game to come out.
Yeah,
game.
I'm going to try to beat that first game before it does. Maybe we'll make it a Waypoint 101. Game.
Oh,
later this year.
That is good. That's a good
that
idea.
That feels like a good idea to me. Maybe we'll do that. No promises yet, tape recorder, but we'll do our best.
don't judge us, tape recorder.
All right, I think that's going to do it. I think there's that's kind of the whole thing.
No
right?
Starfield. Although, we'll start a theory.
All right, here's our theory. Last year, at the end of
Hang on, what is Starfield?
Rob, come on. You've been on the internet. Everyone's heard the rumors of Starfield. Bethesda registered a trademark. Oh, that's somebody else. I think another developer. Fuck. Everybody loves milkshake duck. A duck who loves to drink milkshakes. 5 seconds later, milkshake duck is a racist. I'm sorry to inform you. The Starfield is a
ZeniMax trademark
from years ago, and then there had been rumors for a while. There had been interviews that were like, "Oh, we're working on something big. We're working on something big, completely new, completely like different from what we've done before, way bigger in scope." And then there had been a 4chan rumor that came up a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago that was basically like, Starfield is going to be a big open world sci-fi game set in the Fallout universe, but
like
in the future,
hundreds of years later, or
right?
Whatever,
exactly, where you're going from planet to planet. Maybe there's procedural generation. Who knows? Was not there today.
No, but
might not be real. But
no.
You may remember.
Yep.
That last year at the Bethesda conference, they ended with a little tease.
Yep.
That was like a DOS prompt, basically. That revealed new Colossus or whatever.
Yeah, right? If you like went through like, you know, like if you were in a DOS prompt, like, you know, if you typed
CD
in, like,
or
CD
whatever.
Or DIR, like right, there was right. a folder that like listed all the games that were coming out, and then one was like, yeah, like the new Colossus, and people was like, oh, that's a tease for Wolfenstein.
Right,
for
right
the next
exactly. Season. And this ended with Pete Hines standing in front of
stars,
a star.
And I saw
field.
A spaceship. I saw
there was
spaceship.
A spaceship. It was above Bethesda Land. Put it together, people. I'm just, you know what, I'm not going to put it together. You have to put it together for yourselves. I'm
We're
not here
saying.
To tell you. I'm
We're
just
saying.
I'm asking the question.
You know,
I was putting out the information for you.
You know where else rockets go?
Where's that?
The moon and Talos Station.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stop.
Me too.
That'd be... Okay. Well...
I guess that's possible. I'd play another Prey game. For the record. I enjoyed my time enough to dip back in. I think the writing is really strong. I wish that combat was better.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish there was less of it.
Maybe if that game was like half as long as it actually is.
I would have left that game really high on it if there was half of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
much better 20-hour game than a 40-hour game.
Welcome to video games often.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
All right. That is going to do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
We will be back tomorrow. I'm going to look at the schedule really quick. Oh. Ew. Lift this computer. I'm not lifting anything. This is a lie. All right. I'm going to click on the Monday button. I'm really worried about it because it's already really late on Sunday. We have a 9 a.m. appointment.
Why?
Because... I don't know. Because we have to go play some...
There was a reason. We thought these things through.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. It's an Xbox showcase. We're going to go play some Sea of Thieves. We're going to play probably some other stuff.
Yeah.
ID at Xbox Games. See if Scalebound's there. There won't be. That's not a game anymore.
What's up with Scalebound?
What's up? Hey, what's up with Scalebound? You could ask your second question.
What's up with Scalebound?
What's the deal?
He'll tell me, oh, we canceled it. I'm like, oh, that's... Should have done that.
And then we'll have a follow-up with another one of these with the Ubisoft press conference and the Sony one. There's also a Ubisoft hands-on showcase tomorrow night that we'll go check out and maybe get to actually touch some games like Far Cry and maybe some other new stuff that they have at their thing tomorrow.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see that Far Cry demo.
Me too. So we're going to be late tomorrow on the podcast because the Ubisoft showcase that we go to, the Sony press conference doesn't end until what?
Eight-ish.
By the time we get to the Ubisoft showcase and then play some stuff, maybe
I'm already tired.
Yeah.
Thinking about
this. Yeah, I know. We should go to bed right now. We might not be back here until 10.
Right.
And then we got to talk about Sony. We got to talk about Ubisoft.
Stop.
We got to talk about our Xbox showcase.
Stop.
Oh, here's the plus side. Production crew gets here tomorrow at 3:30 p.m.
Yeah.
That means this space that we're in right now is going to look less like a weird living room in Los Angeles. And more like wherever they put the cameras, maybe a kitchen or a different living room. There's a lot of living rooms in this building.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you'll get to see us. Hopefully we'll be streaming live.
Cool.
To Twitch or to Periscope or to Facebook Live.
Whatever service we decide tomorrow.
Maybe to YouTube Gaming. Maybe to Mixler.
Reach out to us.
You let us
know. We're open.
We're open to suggestions. Where do you want to see it?
We'll just stream Battlegrounds and talk about Ubisoft.
They might be bringing out one laptop that can run Battlegrounds. I'm not sure. We don't have a mouse or anything, but...
That's fine. We'll just use a trackpad.
Yeah.
Do you guys really think it would make a difference?
Wow.
You know what?
Thanks, Rob.
Let's stop this podcast. That means Rob's going to leave.
Rob's going to fucking leave and leave us alone and stop making fun of our skills. We got some chicken tonight, by the way.
We ate chicken.
We got a chicken dinner. In advance of our inevitable...
We're getting, you want to give yourself the taste.
You want the taste of the chicken dinner.
Now I want more.
Now I want more chicken. It turns out it tasted okay. All right, I'm Austin Walker. Find me at @Austin_Walker. Find Patrick Klepek at Patrick Klepek on Twitter. Rob Zachney at Rob Zachney. Find everything we do on Twitter at Waypoint. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/waypointvice. YouTube.com/waypointvice. Go there for most of the video of the stuff that we're going to do all week. We have stuff on the floor. We have interviews. We have... more of us just talking to each other in the weird back corners of the E3 show hall, the LA Convention Center. That'll be fun. So look forward to all of that. Until then, shout outs to Bowen for letting us use his track, Miss You, of the EP Pale Machine. Find out more about that at waypoint.zone/BOEN.
Wait, what's the new website? There's a new forwarding app.
Oh, there is. What was it?
What was that slogan? What was so that this thing
the most powerful console?
I witnessed the most powerful console ever.
I feel like it wasn't that long.
Yeah, it is.
It is. I witnessed the most powerful console ever.com.
Yep.
Takes you to waypoint.advice.com. Shout outs to our incredible fans who set up the best URLs for us. All right. I'm going to go to fucking bed.
Yep.
See all of y'all in the morning. Peace.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.